till Friday.
That's optimistic. Okay. And accurate. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. This is the Stream of Consciousness. It's also called the Bonus Hour. It's just fun. It's just goofing off. It's just fun is what it is.
I call it Bill F. Unleashed.
Oh, you don't have to say that, but thank you. Thank you.
I don't know that that's a compliment, necessarily.
Oh, maybe it's not. I shouldn't be thanking you until I've determined if it's... I'll have the boys in the lab run it through some tests and see if it is or is not a compliment. So I'm Bill, and of course you know Wendy, and we're thrilled that you're listening. It is our producer Jasmine Cooper's birthday. There will be a huge parade down State Street later on today. It's a surprise, so don't tell her if you see her anywhere. Don't let her know that the surprise parade is coming later on today. Should be fun.
I think I know about it.
You already know about it?
Yeah.
Who ruined the surprise?
Somebody named
I just did, didn't I? No. I tried my hardest.
Bicky bye, B-O-Boo, Bicky bye, Bo, B-A-Boo, Bicky bye, Bo, Bill.
That's one of my favorite Three Stooges songs of all time, Wendy. One of my absolute favorites. Hey, this is alarming. Are you ready to be alarmed?
Yes.
We might not have bananas much longer.
I'd love bananas.
Well, have your last one.
What's going
on? It could be coming to an end. There's some sort of banana disease going on. Did you know this?
A banana disease?
There's a banana disease.
How would Bing Crosby say it?
There's a banana disease. Bad. Bananas are substantial, it says here. This is according to MSN, but I could have told you that. I'm not MSN. They're supposed to be good for you, even if some nutritionists think that they are a sugar bomb. I've heard that about bananas. They're like a jolt of energy, but some people who are in the know say, don't get too excited about them. There's too much sugar in the banana.
I know on Weight Watchers, if you're doing points, a banana is 2 points. You have to have a half a banana for 1 point.
That's not enough.
You
half
do need a full banana.
Not enough. A banana, when you think about it, is really one of the miracles of food. It comes in that handy carrying case. It's easy to open.
So does an orange.
Well, an orange also does. But an orange, the peeling on an orange can take a long, long time. Some of them unpeel easily. But a banana, you're in, you're out. It's so simple.
Yeah, and didn't we learn a hack to pinch it at the bottom? Have you tried that since?
It's true. Everybody's always peeled the banana the same way.
You crack the little top part off, and then you peel it down.
Yeah, but they say pinch it from the bottom, like you're supposed to do with toothpaste, kind of, and the banana just magically finds its way to the top.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. I've been doing it.
I'm going to have to try that.
It's good. All right, so here's the bad news. It says bananas are dying. The Washington Post reports that a banana-attacking fungus called Fusarium wilt has been assaulting bananas. They're called Cavendish bananas. It says across Southwest Asia and Australia, Fusarium wilt has been wafting its murderous way along, taking the bite out of your bananas. It says, experts say that it's been spotted in Africa and the Middle East, but even worse, it's only a matter of time before it ends up in Latin America, which, of course, is the biggest source for bananas in the United States.
That's where Carmen Miranda got them
for her headpiece. Now, do you remember, I told you this a couple, I don't know if you didn't believe me, I'm trying to remember how this played out, but Jennifer Weigel, a frequent contributor here at WGN, did a story about how most money that goes to bananas in Latin America winds up in the hands of horrible, horrible people. That every time we buy a banana, an innocent banana on our store shelves, much of the money that goes to it goes to, like, drug cartels.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't recall any of this.
Oh, yeah. It was a scathing exposé. Do you like it? Do you like your exposé scathing?
That's the only way I like them.
Well, you got to read this one then. It says, the thing about Fusarium wilt is that it appears somewhat impervious to pesticides. It's so insidious that just like a bad guy at the end of movies, it pretends to be dead and then suddenly gets up and starts killing more bananas. That doesn't happen in horror movies. They're just using it as a metaphor.
What's a metaphor? To grow bananas?
Yes. Yes. Scientists are getting together trying to create a genetically modified version of the Cavendish that can defy Fusarium wilt's venom. I don't want to live in a world without bananas.
No, but Fusarium wilt is a great band name in case anyone needs it.
He scored over 100 points for the Lakers in one game. Did you know that about
him? And had a lot of lady friends.
Oh, boy. What was his rumor? Did he say he had slept with 10,000 women?
Yeah, something like that.
I think he may have been messing with the numbers a little. I think he was cooking the books.
That's not all he was cooking.
10,000? Was that his number?
Let me find it. Because I thought, even if you were with five women a day, that still seems like it would be...
That's impossible.
...hard to reach that.
You'd need a nap.
Wilt Chamberlain's stats.
Well, this stat wasn't on the back of his basketball card.
Oh, okay.
Right after rebounds. What is SWW?
20,000 women.
Oh, 20. Yeah, that I could see. 10,000 seems outrageous, but 20,000, there's no way in the world.
You're right, because mentalfloss.com, did Wilt Chamberlain really sleep with 20,000 women? Wilt Chamberlain was born 1936. Let's check his math on his most famous statistic.
So let's say he started at, let's say to be polite, 16 or 17. And keep in mind, a 16 or 17-year-old Wilt Chamberlain doesn't have the aura of a professional basketball playing Wilt Chamberlain. It might have been harder for him to convince women to have an encounter with him.
An encounter.
Yeah, that's how he would word it, too. Would you like to have an encounter with me?
Mental Floss says, doing the math, if Wilt started at the age of 15...
Oh, okay, they gave him an extra year.
From then up to the age of 55, when his book was published, he would have had 40 years to sleep with 20,000 women... Or 500 different women a year.
That's a woman and a half a day.
God, you're so freaking, I'll even say, quick. Because it says that works out to roughly 1.4 women a day.
Yeah.
According to close friends, Wilt loved threesomes.
Well, I guess that makes the numbers go up.
Threesomes add up quicker.
Yeah.
According to legend, he was intimate with 23 different women on one 10-day road trip.
Oh, man.
Wilt was also a lifelong insomniac. If you're not sleeping, you must be...
beeping. That's what it said on the back of his van. If I'm not sleeping, I'm probably beeping.
Sometimes he didn't even sleep at all. He probably would take a woman to bed anytime he couldn't fall asleep.
Oh.
But the time factor is an interesting point. A close childhood friend, Tom Fitzhugh, said, I don't remember him having a date. He was probably a virgin when he left high school. So let us assume Wilt really started around the age of 18. That ups the average to 1.5 women per day for 37 years.
You couldn't do it.
Additionally, he did have a six-month schedule for 14 seasons of playing professional basketball. That's 82 games a season, not including playoffs, exhibitions, practices, and travel time.
And can I add this? A lot of coaches advise their players to not engage in sexual activity on game day. I mean, I guess maybe after the game you could celebrate. But, but a lot of coaches say you want to remain abstinent before a game.
Why?
I do that before the shows, by the way.
Good to know.
Just to make the show better.
I don't even know what to do with that information. I got to be honest with you. But what in the world, what is it, tire you out? Maybe it'd help you focus more.
No, just the opposite. It would tire you out.
Okay, it would make Sting.
It would make him tired.
The fact that he said 20,000 different women also leaves little time for repeats or love. And what about sickness? Everyone gets sick once in a while.
Sure.
Which would have cost Wilt precious time during those 37 to 40 sexually active years. Again, Mental Floss did the math here.
Also, and I say this as a guy, you would get tired of it. Wouldn't you? Every day, that would make you, at some point, like...
About 20 guys have just all filled the lines to...
Saying you would not get tired of it?
To slap you.
No matter what you love, if you just if your whole day and night was spent procuring it and then following through on it, you would get tired of it.
You're a lazy lover.
I'm not a lazy lover. You take that back.
Most incredibly, even with those reported 20,000 sexual liaisons...
Wilt
is not known to have contracted any serious sexually transmitted disease. Consider himself lucky.
Yeah, with those kind of numbers.
I know.
That's a million to one shot.
Nor was there ever a woman who came forward with an unplanned pregnancy, a little Wilt, or a paternity suit.
Yeah.
And what about turndowns? Every guy in human history has been turned down by a woman at some point.
Yeah, you can't bat 1,000, even if you're Wilt Chamberlain. There's no way. What's his shooting percentage?
I'm on break.
That needed to be asked.
I'm home.
You went home? You were so offended by that you went home. That's upsetting.
I'm taking Tiki for a walk.
I don't blame you.
I'm not
you.
Even here.
No, I don't blame you.
He died of heart failure in 1999 in the city of Bel Air, California at the age of 63.
They had to bury him 6 feet, 8 inches under.
I'm at my sister's now.
No, stay
I'm
here.
Helping her vacuum. See, this is what I call Bill Left Unleashed. When he
we
cracks
got a problem.
Himself
we
up.
Can't close the casket. What are we going to do? It'll take care of itself.
Is that where Wilt the Stilt came from? Why do you suck me into this? No.
Yes, it is.
Jasmine, do not let this happen on your birthday. Bill has
not
ruined
on
your birthday.
I'm sorry, Jasmine. I didn't mean to ruin your birthday.
And here's a quote from him in a 1999 interview. Wilt Chamberlain facts, by the way.
Here's a quote. I got to take a nap.
In a 1999 interview shortly before he died, Wilt made the following revealing statement, and I quote.
What did he say?
Having 1,000 different ladies is pretty cool. I've learned in my life. I've also found out that having one woman 1,000 different times is more satisfying.
Oh, words of wisdom.
But here he just says 1,000.
Right.
So
he took it down a notch from 20,000.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. Let's be honest. 1,000 is amazing. If that's true, that's amazing.
Again, you're a lazy lover.
I am not.
Have you heard about the lazy lover?
That's not me.
How did we get talking about Wilt Chamberlain?
Because of this disease, this banana disease, ironically enough, called. You would think if Wilt Chamberlain's story is true, you should not name a banana disease after him.
Fusarium Wilt.
But isn't it, like, honestly, 1,000 would be just astounding. But to say 20,000, I can't remember. Did people call him out at it at the time? They should have. I would have demanded more evidence.
I know everybody in radio talked about it when that statistic was released.
I would imagine.
But I don't know how that's humanly possible.
In my head, I always think rock stars are probably the ones with the most mileage, right? But I would think
that... You mean from tour to tour?
Like
driving
yes,
mileage,
no,
you know, in between...
Romantic mileage.
Really? I think athletes...
I think athletes are probably a close second, right? Wouldn't you agree? Probably rock stars, then athletes.
Then you?
No, certified public accountants. Probably third, right? Wouldn't you imagine? But those are probably pro athletes and rock stars. There's not going to be anybody. Maybe assorted politicians. Maybe. Some. Not all.
Hollywood producers.
As we've learned, yeah. Sometimes willingly, sometimes not.
I think you're right. I would put rock stars at
right
the top
of the
heap.
Right at the top of the list, because...
At the top of the Uriah heap.
Yes. Yeah. But even the best among them, I don't think could pull off 20,000. I can't imagine.
I was shocked to hear that athletes sometimes...
Have a wandering eye.
Well, yeah, that kind of surprised me, because... just being a fan of sports when I was little, it's like they had wives.
Right.
Everything was good.
Right.
I don't know. For some weird reason, I think when you're married, you don't see other people.
I don't know that. I would like to think that holds true for all professions, but I tend to think if it didn't for any profession, it would be your athletes and your rock stars. I know I've told you this. There was a book I read years and years ago called Sportin' Ladies, and it was about
you told women me about this.
That were around pro athletes. So in the story, do you remember who Sal Bando is? He played for the Oakland A's.
No.
Sal Bando's wife, Sandy Bando, said that her husband told her that of all the baseball players he knows, only one does not sleep around, and that's Tommy John, who is very, very religious, but that every other athlete he knew, married, not married, didn't matter, they were messing around on their wives or girlfriends. Except for Tommy John.
If Sal Bando's talking to his wife, Sandy Bando, he should have said there's only one guy in baseball that doesn't fool around. And, honey, it's me.
He should have said that. He wasn't thinking clearly. He also played for the Padres. I only say that because Judy Pilek just came in, and I know she would have scolded me for leaving out his career with the San Diego Padres.
But you know
played...
how I am with sports.
Yes.
So thank you.
For
but do you think that still holds true in this day and age of social media where if you're out with someone, someone can take a photo of you and make it public and then boom, your secret's there?
I like to think that we've matured. But
well,
I don't
think it, but
I don't know that that's true. But I, every once in a while, I'll see some player with his wife, and I say to myself, I hope that things have advanced where those guys are you know happy together and just the two of them, and not a, not Wilt Chamberlain knocking at the door.
Although many times, aren't those wives those former girls? I mean, I always hear about the
baseball
ball player wives, that the girls who hang around the minor leagues, and,
right.
And you know, they're just out to get a ball player. I mean, I hope
Susan
that's not
Sarandon
true anymore,
and Bull Durham.
Yeah.
I should have hung around ballparks more.
Yes.
I just hung around the little league fields when I was little.
You would today be Wendy Woo Woo. You would have married Ronnie
Already
Woo-woo.
Am, Bill. Already
All right, we'll take a quick break. Then Judy Pilek has the news for you. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, you like Halloween, right, Jude?
I love Halloween. Love it, you do too?
I do, yeah.
Do you guys like scary movies?
Very much.
Wait, birds of a feather.
Yeah.
I don't like pop-outs. No. I like psychological thrillers.
Uh-huh.
BuzzFeed has put together a list of movies that have either made people sick, pass out, or something worse.
Really?
In theaters.
Oh.
I want to see every one of those.
Some of them I might want to see. Now, I haven't heard of some of them. Bill is a movie fanatic, so...
Let's see. Maybe I haven't either. Now, are these movies that have done all three? They have made people sick and pass out or worse? Or is it either or? Oh, okay.
And just so you know, there's a warning that BuzzFeed gives us, a friendly, somewhat obvious warning. There are things in this article that may spoil both the movies and your lunch.
Oh.
So proceed with caution.
All right. That's fair.
In 2016, the movie Raw. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it, but I've heard of the movie Raw.
It follows, the story follows a light. Again, spoiler alerts. Can I just say this now so I don't have to do it all the time?
Yeah.
It's a horror flick. We know what happens.
Yeah, I guess.
Someone's going to get mutilated.
And die.
And someone else is going to get sad because they love that person.
I couldn't
And then at the end, everyone is going to die.
Yeah.
The story follows a lifelong vegetarian heading to veterinary school where she discovers she has a taste for, let's just go with non-animal meat.
Oh.
It's human.
Oh.
The film gained attention when paramedics had to be called during its screening at the 2016 Toronto Film Fest because many patrons were feeling physically ill.
But that, a movie
That's a good movie.
Loves that because that gets all kinds of great attention and then people dare each other to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
That's good for business, believe it or not.
Back to 1960 for the movie Psycho.
Love it.
It is a great movie.
Masterpiece.
While many sources cite people running out of theaters in terror, Psycho was strictly a word-of-mouth kind of uproar. It was one of the first horror films to enact the kill of your lead star halfway through the film surprise. Ask anyone who was alive at the time of the film's debut, and they'll probably tell you just how badly it freaked out the world. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. People to this day won't take a shower if they're home alone because of Psycho.
I check every time I open the shower curtain.
Right.
I swear to God.
If Anthony Perkins is hiding in there. Now, this is something
and
interesting.
And if you hear the music first, just don't even open the curtains.
When they made the movie, this was back when trailers were a big deal. So Alfred Hitchcock had a thing with the trailers to his movies where they didn't really show a whole lot of scenes from the movie. It was always just the camera was on Alfred and he would be walking around and explaining the movie. And in this one, he would say, make sure you don't tell anybody the surprise ending. You know, he was very adamant because that would ruin the shock. Of what happens at the end of Psycho. So he went out of his way to say, for those of you who see it, please don't ruin the ending.
How would it have sounded if
you said, for those of you who see this film, make sure you don't tell anyone the surprise ending.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I really loved his Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Yeah.
And those are still great, and I've seen all of them, but for some reason, it's still entertaining to me to watch them.
Timeless.
Yeah,
they are,
so
just
good.
Like you. There's a movie that I never heard of called The Green Inferno.
I don't know this one at all.
In 2013, Eli Roth, the man behind Hostel, Cabin Fever, and the most icky fake trailer from Grindhouse Thanksgiving, continued his gross-out streak in 2015 when he brought us The Green Inferno.
Did we have Eli Roth on the show? Wasn't he in with his girlfriend to promote some movie?
I have no idea. Huh. But someone fainted during a premiere screening for the film, which Roth excitedly called the best review ever.
Wait, that was the movie he was promoting, was The Green Inferno. So it's all these people who go to this remote, like, third world part of the world, and they find cannibals, right?
That sure looks like promoting. That, yeah.
So he's married, he wrote it and directed it, and he's married to the girl who was the lead in it. We had them on.
Really?
You don't remember that?
No. Was I here that day?
Yeah, you came in that day.
Oh. Yeah. Are these good movies? Well, besides Psycho.
Well, some of them are not. Some of them are. Antichrist in 2009.
I don't know.
Willem Dafoe was in it. And Charlotte Gainsbourg. They're a grieving couple whose son tragically dies. The ensuing story of guilt, violence, and overall shocking imagery is what makes the film nearly impossible to sit through, even for those with iron stomachs. During the initial screening of the film, Antichrist, 4 people fainted. The film was also banned in France following complaints from a Catholic group.
Wow. That's impressive.
Is this a terrible thing, but it makes me want to see it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely. I'm writing them all down.
Are you really?
You That's what I'm saying. Tell me the ones that I actually have good reviews, too.
Okay. The Exorcist.
Oh.
I love The Exorcist.
That is scary as hell.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you. Many of the people flocking to theaters to see this one back in 1973 were purposely going because they heard all the hype surrounding how many people were getting sick during the film.
Yeah.
People fainted, vomited, or even just left during the film out of fear and waited in the lobby for their friends. I don't believe that. They really did.
I didn't think it was that gross. I mean, it was kind of, you know, where you'd vomit or faint.
If I see someone else,
it was so scary.
I guess in person, I'm done. I may as well just join them and grab me a bucket.
Really? Okay.
Well, there's the scene where Reagan's head spins completely around, which is very disturbing.
I didn't know Ronald Reagan was in it.
Not Ronald Reagan. The little girl Reagan, Linda Blair Reagan. So as a parent, you know, anytime your kid's head does a complete 360, that's upsetting. You don't want to see that.
Yeah,
that's upsetting.
I've seen it many times with my kids, but
right. Yeah, they're top to bottom. That movie's just frighteningly scary.
Yeah, it's just so frightening.
And remember, there were all kinds of rumors that awful things were happening on the set. There was a fire.
Yeah,
on the set.
I think stuff did actually.
Linda Blair had a back injury or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get. She twisted her head around.
Yeah, that's
something's got to give.
Your vertebrae.
BuzzFeed has put together a horror film so terrifying that made people sick, pass out, or worse.
Isn't it weird how the first Exorcist movie was really so good and so scary, and then because they were in such a hurry to do a sequel or two or three, they just were nowhere near as good or scary.
They weren't.
Yeah, not even close.
Which one was The Heretic? Exorcist 2, The Heretic.
I think that was the second one.
That wasn't as good.
And even the mom in that, she wanted no part of it. Right? Ellen Burstyn was out.
Oh, that's right.
They went with Nurse Ratched, came in and played the mom.
I got to rewatch Exorcist.
So
my kids
good.
Haven't seen it, and they're kind of iffy about it.
They did there's a new version, well, not new anymore, but they re-released a version about 8 or 10 years ago that was some added footage that's really pretty
good.
Did
you see it?
Yeah.
Does it enhance it?
Yeah. There's a scene where Reagan, again, not the President Reagan. He's not in this at all. If you're a Reagan fan and you go to see him, you're going to be very disappointed.
Why did I think her name was Reagan?
Reagan.
Reagan?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Reagan.
Yeah. Reagan.
Oh, yeah. Now it sounds right.
So she does this bizarre, like, spider walk downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that
scene?
Yeah.
It's that real. Wasn't in the original?
No, they added that later.
Oh, I'm going to watch that.
What is it
freaky.
Called? Exorcist Extra?
Exorcist 2 Electric Boogaloo.
No, it does not. It's just the re-release.
The re-release?
Of it?
Yeah.
With, oh, yeah, I got to see.
Like Director's
that.
Cut or something, mm-hmm. I think it's called.
All right, more movies to disgust you or listen. I never heard of this. Irreversible 2002.
I don't know that one either. Wow.
During the French psychological horrors premiere at the Cannes Film Festival, 250 people reportedly walked out before the film was over, a hefty majority of them requiring medical attention.
What? What's it about?
Is Kevin Hart in it?
Many have attributed this sickness to the director's use of a low-frequency score designed specifically to invoke feelings of uneasiness and confusion.
Brilliant.
Though, if it wasn't the soundtrack that got him, the graphic 10-minute rape sequence and ensuing revenge most likely did. So I don't
know.
That's
bad, too.
Irreversible.
What does that mean in French?
Irreversible.
Oh.
I haven't heard of that one. The Blair Witch Project, 1999. I loved it.
I liked it a lot. I didn't love it.
It freaked me out. Have you ever seen it, Judy?
No. I've seen pieces.
It really frightened me.
The effective part of it was that they wanted it to be, you know what found footage is? They wanted to act as though this was film that we just found and we'll show it to you. It's raw. Make of it what you will. And that was really well done.
It really was.
I feel like people at the time thought it was real.
A lot of people did.
They were trying to promote it that way.
Right.
And even if you know it's not real, you could see where it was really freaky. Now, the weird thing about the Blair Witch is that while people were reportedly getting sick to their stomachs during the film, like literally vomiting in the theaters, most of them were caused by motion sickness due to the herky-jerky.
Oh, yeah. It was like Wild Chicago.
It was worse. It was
Blair
really tough to watch. So it wasn't the gore or horror.
Right.
It was the camera movement.
Right. Yeah. Other horror movie franchises have tried to capitalize on that, and so has Modern Family and The Office.
And NYPD Blue
NYPD Blue also did, yeah.
Well, and do you watch American Horror Stories?
Yeah.
Was it last season or the season before? They did kind of a spoof on that, I thought.
I didn't watch that season.
Because it was the same kind of thing. They were in a house, and they were filming, and...
It's really scary. The Blair Witch Project was one of the first films to use that style for a full-length movie, and most weren't used to or remotely ready for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was so new to people. They didn't know what to make of it. So good for them for figuring out a new way to do it.
People need to buck up, get a little hard. Come on.
Right. They made a lot of money off that movie, too, because it was made for so little money, and it just got such a great distribution deal. So
I don't know if I saw the second one.
I'm trying to remember if I did either. I don't think I did either.
It's really worth seeing.
Okay. I'll let you know if it's worth seeing.
Bill is more of a film snob than I am, just because you studied it. You really are a little harder to please, and you should be.
But every once in a while, they'll do something like that that's so original, and I just give them points. I do. I give those guys huge points for figuring that out. I wanted to be a little more scared, you know?
Anybody see The Human Centipede?
I saw parts of it. It's really sick.
Well, to paraphrase the great Dr. Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park, these filmmakers were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
Right.
Most people never made it through the trailer. I saw the trailer. It's really disturbing.
Yeah.
For
great
the first
special
film.
Effects.
Never mind the whole trilogy. In fact, this got to be so gross. The third installment, yes, there are three movies. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Almost never got made because those who previously worked on it were so disgusted by just the script.
Yeah.
It's a man who clones together people to make a human centipede, basically.
Yeah.
It's really disturbing.
Does he sew them together? Is that what he does? I can't remember what he does.
Yeah, I think so. Good Night, Mommy, 2014. Never heard of it.
Don't know that one either.
The story follows twin brothers who are convinced their mother is a completely different person when she returns home from a complicated face surgery.
Oh.
Two people fainted. Co-director Severin Fiala told IndieWire that's the best compliment we've had so far.
Did you ever hear of or see a movie called Basket Case?
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
I can't believe I will admit I haven't seen many movies in my life, but yes, I saw it.
That was a guy, you know, you always hear stories about people who they've got like a lump in their shoulder and they'll do an X-ray and they'll go, well, that would have been a twin brother. He never fully developed.
Right.
All right. So in Basket Case, it's a guy who's got a twin brother and he lives, but he keeps him in like a little like a picnic basket. And then this guy, the little brother, decides to go on a murder spree.
He needs to eat.
Yeah, he's hungry.
It's really ridiculous.
Is he just a...
He's like a mutated part head, part...
clump of human.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not really a person who's too long.
No, he's not very cute.
That's very judgmental of you, Judy. I mean, he is a person.
Even his mom didn't think he was cute.
No, his mom, no. But it's real graphic and very sick. Enjoyable.
Did you like it?
Strangely enjoyable.
Put that one down,
Basket Case.
Case.
It's gross.
Yeah. What Wendy and I just told you is better than seeing the movie.
Yeah. But I mean, you see, some of these I wouldn't even bother because they're really not horror flicks. They're
shocker films.
Like right. Saw.
I need the scary part.
Saw 3 is on the list from 2006. It's weird that specifically Saw 3 caused the most panic of all the Saw films. It's true. There were reports of 3 separate ambulances being called to the theaters in the UK the night of the film's premiere after multiple people had fainted or become physically sick.
Wow.
I have not seen any of the
There's
Saw movies.
There's a remake of it, of the original Saw, that's out, I think, this week. It's got to be this week because they want to put it out before Halloween. So they've already kind of turned that franchise over, and they're already remaking the first one.
Who's in that one? Isn't it Matthew McConaughey? Isn't he in one of those?
In Saw?
I don't think they're big name actors, are they?
No.
There's a graphic brain surgery sequence that really made people sick.
Okay. No,
here's a movie that I saw. Bill, I'm sure you did. It's called Freaks.
One of my favorite movies of all time. Todd Browning. The guy who directed Dracula, Todd Browning, made it.
It is disturbing.
Yeah.
It's really good. This is something. It was made in 1932. Todd Browning, as Bill said, hot off the insane popularity of directing 1931's iconic Dracula, wanted his next horror film to be even more extreme. This film gained infamy for the filmmaker's decision to opt out of using actors with prosthetics. Instead, he casted real carnival performers.
Yeah. Yep.
After one test screening, a woman threatened to sue MGM over the film, claiming the trauma she experienced while watching caused her to miscarry.
I don't know about that.
Decades later, the film is now a cult classic.
Ooh, it's short, too. It's only like 70 minutes long, but it's so nightmarish
from start
to finish.
And these poor people, this was their life.
Yeah.
That's what they were left to do is they were carnival.
They've got a bunch of people, and I don't know what the scientific name for it is, but they were commonly referred to in circus sideshows as pinheads. Did you ever see anybody like that?
Yes, they had their face was a typical face size, and then as their head went up, it just turned smaller.
Yeah.
Like conical, kind of.
So there's several people who are pinheads in the movie. There's a guy named Johnny Eck who had no lower half of his body, so he would walk around on his hands. He was one of the leads. Oh, yeah, you have video of him.
Such a cute guy. Johnny Eck. Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to watch that.
Yeah,
I just read Geek Love. Have you ever heard
what's
book?
That?
It was written 25 years ago. I read it on vacation. It was awesome. Well, it's like hilarious. It's about a carnival.
Yeah.
But the parents, they purposely make the mom have, you know, children who have abnormalities. She drinks, you know, she does meth and ammonia. Because
they want to populate
it's
a freak show?
Yes, it's a hilarious book, sad, great, I mean, well-written, really, really good.
Yeah.
Geek Love.
Now, you mentioned before American Horror Story.
They also did
a season a few years ago.
That was one of my favorite seasons.
That was based on the movie Freaks.
When you were talking about it, I was like, oh, this is just like American Horror Story.
I only made it through 2 episodes of that. I stopped watching.
It was pretty gruesome. And if you like your hideous clowns.
Yes, it was gruesome. Classic. But the thing about American Horror Story, like, is there was always a good story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not always.
I watched the Asylum one. I thought that was pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I went back and watched all of them.
I'm going to go back and do it.
Yeah, like the first one's really good,
and
too.
And they
the
all
witches.
Somehow tie together, right? They've not established
all the same actors.
Well, the same actors, but I guess Ryan Murphy's the guy behind it. He's the same guy that was behind Glee. Which is strange because those.
That's wild.
It's the same guy.
Unbelievable.
But he's.
So you're saying
asked,
there's a thread between all of the episodes.
And I guess because I haven't seen the last 2 seasons yet, so I don't know if they've established what it is yet. But he said, there's some commonality where everything will tie together, but he hasn't explained what yet.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now I gotta watch them all. Mm-hmm.
I
the witches one was good.
Yeah, the very first
coven?
One. Yeah,
the coven, that wasn't the first one. The first one was about the house.
Oh, the series. Yeah, the haunted house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw that either.
That's pretty good.
I went back and
that's with Dylan
Dermott,
Dylan McDermott Mulroney.
Yep.
All those actors are the same guy. I can't tell the difference between Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney. I know that there's differences. I just don't know what they are.
We have one final one.
Yeah.
Again, BuzzFeed put together the movies that have made people sick or left the movie. 2015, a movie was called Bite. Have you heard of this?
No.
Mm-mm. Nor have I. At the premiere of the film at the 2015 Fantasia International Film Festival, the crew handed out barf bags as gifts, which most people assumed was a funny marketing ploy. But boy, were they wrong. Many people ended up becoming sick mid-film and utilizing their gift, as was featured on the director's Facebook page. And ambulances were called.
Wow.
What is it about?
I don't have. Bite.
And it was just a few years ago, right? 2015?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
And then The Conjuring 2, 2016.
I've heard of the original Conjuring. I didn't know there was a sequel.
Arguably the strangest one on the list, this film reportedly caused a man in India to experience severe chest pains during the film's climax. The man was rushed to the hospital, where he passed away shortly afterward. Terrifying enough on its own, but it gets worse. The body reportedly went missing upon being transported for inspection.
That's cool. Even more diabolical. So could you sue the movie company if you could prove, well, I guess you can't prove it if the body's missing, but if you could, would you have the right to sue the movie company and say this movie was so scary it killed him?
The woman who miscarried tried to sue MGM for a particular movie. I can't remember what it was, but she didn't win that.
I believe the onus is on you.
I think so.
Yeah, for Freaks.
Right. Oh, for Freaks? Yeah. Really? So is it scarier, let's say you've got in front of you a really horrible, scary movie. Is it more scary to see it in a theater with strangers, or is it more scary to see it alone at home?
Hmm. I think alone at home.
How come?
Because you're alone at home.
I would never watch a scary movie alone at home.
You wouldn't ever? No. Oh, I love doing that.
No, because I scare myself. I psych myself out.
You do it?
I do that all the time. I love doing
that. Are you scared afterward?
I find myself checking the locks way more than normal.
Right.
Like, going, I can't believe I'm going back to check the door one more time, but I am.
I'll be in bed. And I'm like, did I lock the door? Even though I'd been down there twice already.
Yeah.
Well, those are some movies to put on your list for what to watch for Halloween. Do you have any other ones that you would recommend?
To me, the best horror movie of all time is Rosemary's Baby. It's just
flawless.
Awesome. It's so good, and it's so scary, and it's not graphic. It's just it's
really freaky.
It messes with your mind.
Yep.
It really does. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Do you remember this movie? I think we've talked about it, The Brood.
Yeah, I saw The Brood with Oliver Reed and Samantha Agar, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I find to be a very good movie.
Yeah, that's really good. There's a movie from about 5 years ago called The Orphanage that's really scary. Really scary, insanely scary. That's the guy Del Toro, who's done a bunch of. We've talked about him on the past.
Yeah.
Really good, great filmmaker.
Phantasm's pretty good. The original.
I love.
It's
Phantasm.
Really good. Have you seen that, Judy?
No. Phantasm.
Phantasm. Yeah.
P H A N T A S M.
I like Phantom.
The original Omen is really good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's such a freaky, interesting movie.
I was on Fullerton Avenue Beach, and they were filming it.
Oh, were you really?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Omen?
The original one.
Yeah.
Really? That was The Omen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Gregory Peck and Lee Remick. And Harvey Stevens is a young Damien.
Damien.
Little 666 boy.
Yeah.
You couldn't say Damien because you went to St. Damien.
I went Damien. To St. Damien. St. Damien of 666. That was our address, 666 Central Street.
No, it was not.
Now, and see, I would consider Jaws, like,
Jaws
scary.
Is great.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It damaged me from going in the ocean.
Yeah.
It did. Or jumping off a boat in the middle of,
We were going to the East Coast on a family vacation. We were driving, and that was the year that Jaws came out, and we had seen it. And we were going to Cape Cod. And isn't that kind of where that happened?
Mm-hmm.
We got in a terrible car accident, and our car was totaled. We were traveling with my aunt named Aunt.
Aunt?
So we all got into Aunt's car, and we had to leave our car on the side of the road. And I had a concussion, and I found myself being relieved I didn't have to go swim at Cape Cod.
Wow.
So I never made it there. I've never been there. So someday,
maybe subconsciously you caused that accident.
I'm like, that was Carrie meets Jaws.
Yes.
Carrie's a great movie, too.
Love Carrie.
Oh, Carrie is good.
Love it.
I'm telling you, any Stephen King book.
Yeah.
In high school, when I would read Stephen King, I would go sleep with my dad.
Yeah. That's scary.
I'd be like, move over.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh.
I told you.
Anything with vampires or,
Bought it for Dylan to read in freshman year English, and it's 11
Have you started?
He did. I haven't. He's reading it. But I was saying you should pick another book because it's like 1,100 pages. Right. And as you pointed out, and I think Bill did too, it's a quick read. Oh, he's flying through it.
Yeah, it's easy to read.
I'm going to read it when he's finished.
Judy, thank you for hanging out.
Absolutely.
Thanks, we'll close
thanks
it
for
up.
Scaring me.
No, absolutely. We'll close it up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, you are wearing big boy pants today. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to Jasmine Cooper, our producer. Happy birthday, Jazzy.
Thank you.
She's a lady of few words.
A lot of people wish I was that lady, too.
All right, that's it for today. Tomorrow, Friday, the best day ever invented. Join us for this one. It should be a good one. All indications are the best show of the week. That's what I'm hoping for. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.